real quick, sorry, you're raising your hand, but you didn't see, just wanted to give an update on my sister's granddaughter Izzy, who we prayed for last week, and she's finally out of the hospital, and she's recovering from her pneumonia. It was a pretty severe case, and it took four different courses of antibiotics and steroids to get it under control, but she's home. And then my grandson, Alex, got pneumonia, but it was not as bad, he didn't have to go to the hospital, so, but I thank everyone for their prayers.
Okay, let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you are near and that you have words for us, Lord, and that you're present with us. We thank you for your hand in Debbie's family, that there's been healing there. And we give you thanks and praise that you are with us now and that we can read your word, and we just pray that you would be among us and make us soft and help us to hear you, and that you would be our teacher, Jesus. I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 9 verses of the first chapter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable is tested by fire, may redound to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. As the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls. You know, I've been reading this letter, and a letter from Peter to believers, and just really, really encouraged by several things in here, and there's a lot more than what we read, but that seems like a good amount for this morning. And you know, it goes on from there, so I encourage you to look at it, think about it. You know, it really struck me, some things in here, just something so simple, simply expressed, you know, by Peter, you know, just about the identity of belonging to Jesus. And, you know, from the very first verse, you know, it says, Peter, an apostle of Christ, you know, a messenger of Christ, someone sent by Jesus. I read in one word study, you know, someone, you know, sent with a message or sent with orders. So here's Peter, maybe 30 some years, I think, after being called by Jesus. And how does he identify himself? follower of Jesus, someone sent by Jesus. I was really, really encouraged by that. And it's in present tense. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus. You know, he didn't say, I was an apostle of Jesus, I was called by Jesus. There's something just from the get-go that he sees clearly about who he is and who he is in Jesus. And then when he addresses them, he says, you know, to exiles of the dispersion, I think in different translation, it's those scattered believers who had been scattered throughout, I think what's now Turkey, because of their faith in Jesus, had been facing persecution and trials. But he addresses them right away that in verse 2, chosen and destined or foreknew by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. So not only is his identity very clear to him and simple and wrapped up in Jesus, but he sees something very clearly to them too. That you're known by God, you're chosen by God, you are chosen by Him and known by Him and cleaned by His Spirit, that His work is alive in you to make you obedient to Jesus. That they have received something from Him and that He is at work in them and to attach themselves to Jesus. And I also love that it's so clearly put that it's God's work in them. He doesn't say all these great, amazing things that you've done. He addresses them and he says, no, you're known by God. His work is in you and that you've been chosen and attached to Jesus to obey Him, to listen to Him, to follow Him. Something great here. And, it made me think, for us too, these are probably always good things that when we read His Word, what does that look like for us? Been called by Jesus, whether it was a long time ago, or whether it's fresh, or whether you may be considering it in your own life. What is my identity with Jesus? Who is Jesus to me? And to hear, words from the Lord about having an identity with Him and belonging to Him and listening to Him. And then he goes on and he greets them. He says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you, or may you have them abundantly. That this is something God wants for you, that you would have His kindness, His mercy, grace, and peace with Him, and that that would be real and prevalent. And then in verse 3, he says, blessed or praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, we have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Born anew. Peter has been around Jesus and has received words of life from Jesus. I feel like there are a lot of Jesus' words in this section. But he tells them, this is who we are. That by God's great mercy, we have been born anew into a living hope. Something that's alive in the resurrection of Jesus for us. Something, something hope. What you wait on, what you expect. A living expectation wrapped up in the life of Jesus, in the resurrection of Jesus. Somehow, to be born into that and to have that be true about be true about us. And, you know, I love that what's expressed here is in the present tense. It doesn't say that it was something in the past that's no longer true, or but to hope, it's current. What are you looking for? What are you waiting on? Are you waiting on the person of Jesus? Have you been born into something new with him? And so these are great reminders. He's telling them, this is what's true about you. If you belong to him and believe in him, a living hope, again, not through amazing works done by the hearers of this letter, it's been done through the resurrection of Jesus. And, you know, I think about when, I'm sure Peter was probably there, but when, you know, Nicodemus came to Jesus and Jesus tells him, you have to be born again. And he says, well, how do I do that? I'm old. And this is just beautiful and simple here, that you've been born anew through the resurrection of Jesus, that by belonging to him and attaching ourselves to him, we're born anew into a hope that's alive. And in verse 4, and into an inheritance, inheritance, usually something for children, an inheritance from the Father, an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. This is lovely. There is nothing in our world that can't be touched by the fading of time, or can't be perish, or can't be corrupted or defiled. Everything in this world, in its state, you know, can be corrupted or will fade or will perish. We've all seen it. We live in it. We're in the middle of it. And this is a great promise from God that there is an inheritance kept in heaven for you in the person of Jesus that is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade. And that is something to hold on to. That is something to hold on to for a lifetime. And it is great to know that that is true. And that's why it's here, because we need to hear it. They needed to hear it. That what you might see around you right now are trials and trouble. And, you know, it says that you're facing hardship. And it may not always be clear, but he's saying, in Jesus, there is an inheritance for you that won't fade, won't perish, and can't be corrupted. And that's something we can hold on to. Kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Isn't that great, too? That we are guarded by God's power, that his hand is on us, that he is present with us somehow through faith for a salvation that will be revealed in the last time, in the time to come. That that is what he has for us. And in verse 6, in this you rejoice. This is where you put your joy. I feel like this is like kind of an encouragement, kind of a command. Like, put your joy here. This is what you rejoice in. This is what you can hold on to. Though now, for a little while, you may have to suffer various trials so that the genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold. And gold, though perishable, is tested by fire. Your faith may redound to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. That we would look for the return of Jesus. That we would look in expectation and in hope for Jesus' return. And hold on to that. Continue in that. And never really thought about like our faith leading to praise and glory and honor at the return of Jesus. What a great promise. What a great promise to look for Him, to look to Him, and in the midst of life and trouble and hardship, to just clearly wait and hope and hold on to for the return of Jesus. And, without having seen Him, you love Him. And this is, this is words that Peter is sharing with them, that the Lord is sharing with them to strengthen them. That Jesus is real, and you haven't seen Him, but the love that you have for Him is real. And to hear that, and to know that that's true. And though you don't see Him now, you believe in Him. The things that you've heard, the things that you've received from Him, they're real. Hold on to them. Believe in them. Even if it's not always apparent. And rejoice with unspeakable and exalted joy. To put your joy. What do we put our joy in? What do we, you know, it's a call to put our joy in Him and put our joy in that. And in verse 9, the outcome of your faith is you obtain salvation in your souls. That hold on to Him, believe in Him. In Him is salvation and life. And, you know, this goes on with so much more. But what great promises from Jesus to hear and to hold on to. And, you know, these things, I believe, are true for us today. If as a follower of Jesus, what was expressed here that's important about who we are in Him, and to know that where we are now and what we see around us now is just where we are in this world, and that He has something greater, an inheritance that will never fade or perish, and He will return. And so we're meant to hold on to that. We're meant to love Him, but we don't see Him. We're meant to believe in Him and put our joy in Him, and He will return. And I also was reading this, and for me personally, what a great prayer to read through these things and to pray. And, you know, Lord, You say these things are true about You, true about me, and just to even think about them, not on a once-in-a-lifetime basis, but even on a daily basis. You know, what does it mean to obey Jesus and to listen to Him? What does it mean to ask that, you know, grace and peace from Him would be multiplied to us, and that we would see that living hope, and that we would have it, and that we would remember that there is something in Him in heaven that's kept for us, that will never fade or perish, and to just even think about those things on a day-to-day basis.